The story
behind the story.
Back to the open line on 560 CFOS.
Welcome back to the program. It's 9:11 this morning. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll be talking about children and families today on the open line, and we'll talk to the Salvation Army in the second half of the show about its Dignity Project and poverty here in Canada. But we're glad to be joined this morning by Chris Carter. He's one of the organizers of one of the rallies taking place at Owen Sound. In fact, there's several rallies taking place across the province today, calling on the provincial government to take responsibility for its 53 children's aid societies. His name is Chris Carter, and he joins us on the open line. Chris, thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Manny.
I understand you're on your way to Owen Sound.
I am.
The rally takes place at 11 until 4 today at City Hall. What is this rally about?
Well, in a nutshell, what we're looking for is accountability to be imposed on the 53 Children's Aid Societies of the Province of Ontario. And in fact, not just the Children's Aid Societies themselves, but also the larger child protection system, which includes the Ontario Court of Justice, where the Children's Aid Society litigation takes place. It's a very secretive court at this point of its existence, and also other relevant entities, such as the Office of the Children's Lawyer and the Ministry of Children and Youth Services. Child protection, as it exists in Ontario today, is an extremely complicated and convoluted issue. And our position is that not only do we need jurisdiction to be appointed to the provincial ombudsman, Mr. Marin, to have the power to investigate complaints against the Children's Aid Societies. In fact, at this point, we need a province-wide public inquiry looking at the actions of the Children's Aid Societies, specifically since the changes to the Child and Family Services Act effected by the Progressive Conservative Mike Harris government back in 1999, Bill 6, which is kind of what resulted in this very dire situation that we have today, which sees countless children and families being used as commodities by the so-called child protection system and unnecessarily brutalized and destroyed emotionally and psychologically on a daily basis in the courtrooms of this province.
A lot of information there, Chris. So you made an allegation just at the end there that families are being hurt and broken up. How is that happening?
Well, the issues are very convoluted and complicated. But okay. In effect, there are not any safeguards in place currently to protect families from being maliciously litigated against by Children's Aid Society. Children's Aid Societies are awesomely powerful entities. They are, in fact, in many cases, much more powerful than police services, but they are private corporations. Now, the Children's Aid Societies will allege that they are not-for-profit charitable corporations. But we allege differently. We allege that there is profiting going on, and that, like any corporation, the bottom line is how much money it's making. Unfortunately, for the primarily poor and working class children and families of this province, the government of Ontario felt that it was appropriate to impose what they call a funding model onto the child protection system, which resulted in Children's Aid Societies acquiring more funds based on the number of investigations initiated and children taken into care. This provided an incentive to the Children's Aid Societies to go out and, as the families allege, snatch babies and children without justification in many cases. Child protection should be one of the most respected and honored fields in this province. It should be right up there with firefighting and policing. But we know that that's not the case in the province of Ontario today. We know that child protection is severely discredited. The Children's Aid Societies, since the changes to the Child and Family Services Act in 1999, have been much worse than the boy who cried wolf. They have, in fact, discredited true child protection by pursuing so many fraudulent cases against loving, healthy, happy families.
Okay, Chris, so let me bring it down to the ground level here, so to speak. What you're saying is that in many cases, what you're alleging is that the CAS are taking, they receive a complaint and are taking children out of homes when they shouldn't be.
Very, very so, Manny. Very, very often. The quality of a Children's Aid Society investigation compared to, for example, the quality of a police investigation, or, for example, the quality of, let's say, an investigation by workman's compensation into a claim. The quality of the Children's Aid Society's investigations are very, very substandard. But they get away with it because the litigation in which the Children's Aid Society matters are heard is the Ontario Court of Justice. It is a provincial court, and it is part of this monolithic provincial establishment, child protection establishment, which I said before is unbelievably convoluted and complicated and takes years of study to understand correctly. That court is a secretive court, and the litigation that is heard is not open to public examination because the entities claim that public examination of child protection litigation puts children at risk of suffering from emotional harm. And that is, in fact, an obvious issue. However, that allegation is being utilized to facilitate this child protection fraud that has been going on. If the average reasonable citizen of the
Chris, you're breaking up there.
Okay, sorry about that. If the average citizen of this province and this country knew what was going on and understood how many families have been unnecessarily, gratuitously brutalized, they would be up in arms. And that's one of the things that we are trying to get the message out. Earlier, Manny, you mentioned about the rallies that have been taking place. If any of the listeners are interested, information about the rallies can be found on a link called on a website called fixcas.com. And there are two other very important websites, Canada Court Watch and the Foster Care Council of Canada. These three websites have been reporting for the past number of years about the fraud and the malfeasance of the Children's Aid Societies and the damage that they are doing to the primarily poor and working class families of this province.
Okay, Chris, you mentioned if we realized how many families were affected by this, how many families are we talking about?
Thank you for bringing up that issue, Manny. Statistics are one of the very serious, or lack of statistics, non-access to statistics are one of the very serious complaints that we families who have been negatively affected by the Children's Aid Societies are registering with the government. And our position is that they are not providing statistics specifically because they don't want the true story to get out there. So when you say how many families are being affected, I've heard different numbers. For example, I heard that there were, prior to 1999, approximately 13,000 children in foster homes and group homes throughout the province of Ontario. And today, in 2011, we are at close to 30,000 children in foster homes and group homes, and perhaps that also includes those that are in youth justice facilities. You may be aware that approximately 50% of the children who are in youth justice facilities are Crown wards. We put forth the position that the process, the malicious litigation that occurs when the CAS tries to make a child a Crown ward might be contributing to the emotional and psychological damage to that children, to those children, which eventually results in them ending up in the youth justice facility. But nobody wants to take these issues and examine them.
Have you been negatively affected by the Children's Aid?
Very much so. I'm actually from, I'm a 44-year-old father of four children. I'm actually from the region of Waterloo. And our case has been widely reported on the internet. I have been sued by the Waterloo Regional Children's Aid Society, myself and the website fixcas.com, for $500,000. That lawsuit was dropped. I have been incarcerated on two occasions at the Maplehurst Detention Center without justification, specifically because of the intensity of my efforts to expose the child protection fraud. And but most severely, I have had to live with the fact that for the last number of years, my children have been denied the love of their father.
Now I hear a child in the background.
I'm at a friend's house, and him and his wife are lovingly caring for their baby girl.
Okay, and your four children are?
They are with their mothers, and but we were one of the aspects of the child protection fraud is that the CASs target certain types of families. For example, mothers who have children with more than one father, they will often be their children. If a report is made about their children, they will be pursued very, very vigorously, because the CAS has recognized that they are a vulnerable demographic. But also, fathers involved in postmarital separation child custody disputes, which was my case, are also very, very seriously disadvantaged. I'll just give you one simple example. The Minister for Children and Youth Services, the Ministry of Children and Youth Services, was established in 2003. It was the first new ministry in the government of Ontario for 25 years. That minister has a second portfolio. She is also the minister for women's issues. Now, you often hear fathers talk about the severe discrimination that they suffer from within the family courts. That is not an unjustified sour grapes type of complaint. It is absolutely true. Canada and the province of Ontario allege that we are protected from human rights violations here in this province. Human rights violations based on gender against fathers are happening every single day in the Ontario Court of Justice. Sociological studies show, and it becomes even more insidious, sociological studies show that when fathers are removed from the lives of their children, female children, when they become teenagers, are more likely to become pregnant. And guess who's there, Manny, waiting to scoop up those babies based on the fact that a teenage mother is not mature enough to take care of the child, but none other than your friendly neighborhood Children's Aid Society.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Chris, because we're running out of time here. You mentioned you want the ombudsman to investigate complaints against the CAS.
After a public inquiry.
First you want a public inquiry. And
most definitely.
And then you want the ombudsman. Where do those complaints go now? Do you make them to the ministry?
Well, you can make them to the ministry, but they're going to fall on deaf ears.
Okay. But that's who you complain to right now, or at least that's what the protocol says.
There are a few different avenues. You can complain to the ministry. You can complain to the ombudsman's office. You can complain to something called the Child and Family Services Review Board. But most humorously, shall we say, you can complain to the Children's Aid Society's very own Internal Complaint Review Panel, which consists of four members, three Children's Aid Society workers, and then the fourth not being allowed to be a Children's Aid Society worker, but being allowed to be one of their board of directors.
Right. But I understand that doesn't sound right at all. But you can complain to the ombudsman right now?
Yes, you can. And I strongly suggest that the citizenry register their complaints with the ombudsman. But, however, the ombudsman does not have the jurisdiction to investigate the CASs. The ombudsman has the jurisdiction to investigate complaints against the Ministry of the Children and Youth Services. So the way that it works is families have to originally register their complaints with the ministry and then suffer through the ministry's lack of action, their deliberate and conscious inaction, and then bring the complaint to the ombudsman and, in effect, say, I reported these incidences of fraud and malfeasance being perpetrated against my family by such and such CAS. I then, to the ministry refused to take action. Will you, Mr. Ombudsman, please investigate the ministry on those issues?
I understand. Now, are you optimistic that your rallies and other work that you have done to garner attention to this issue, are you optimistic that something will be done about it?
It has to be, because one of the things when you examine the fraud of the child protection system is you have to be able to understand the implicit acknowledgments made on the part of the government of Ontario and the establishment itself, acknowledging that, in fact, the fraud has occurred. One of the implicit acknowledgments occurred in 2009 when the Ministry of Children and Youth Services, the Liberal government, established something called the Commission to Promote Sustainable Children's Aid Societies. It's a three-member commission which has a three-year mandate to examine the child protection system or aspects of it and make recommendations for improvement. Now, that commission has since mysteriously changed its name to the Commission to Promote Sustainable Child Welfare. Now, unfortunately, even that commission is diseased with conflict of interest issues. Two of the three commission members are former Children's Aid Society staff, and all three of the commissioners are adopters. And I don't want to, in any way disparage the very honorable action of adopting children who need to be adopted. But whenever we see these issues, we often see conflict of interest issues. How could the government establish a commission to promote sustainable children's aid societies and include two former Children's Aid Society workers on that commission?
I understand your point. Well, if you think if you're optimistic that you think we can solve this issue, I wish you all the best, and I hope that something can be done, of course, because we are talking about children. Chris, thanks very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Manny, thank you. And also, Manny, I just want to thank the Voices of Innocent Families of Grey Bruce County for organizing today's rally, and Mr. Zane Shearwood for organizing today's rally. And God bless you and your radio station, Manny, for giving us an opportunity to air our concerns.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Chris Carter is one of the organizers behind the rallies taking place across the province of Ontario. One will be held in Owen Sound from 11 till 4, calling on the province to take more responsibility and accountability for the 53 Children's Aid Societies in Ontario. We'll continue to talk about children and families with the Salvation Army next on the Open Line on 560 CFOS.